Hi, I'm Marian McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is Mulgrew Miller, one of the finest pianists in jazz. He has become one of the most acclaimed and recorded jazz players of his generation, and we're delighted to have him on Piano Jazz. Mulgrew, it's great to see you.
Thank you, Marian.
After all that long time.
It's been a long time.
Gee, but I know you've been busy. Your career is sort of ascending more and more. You've had a lot of great projects, and you've got a record called The Sequel.
That's right. On the Max Jazz label out of St. Louis.
Right. And I read somewhere your group, I didn't realize you had a group called Wingspan.
Yes. I recorded an LP, tell you how long ago that was, in the late 80s, called Wingspan.
Yeah.
And after that, I decided to keep the name for the group that appeared on the record. So it's a quintet that features alto saxophone and vibraphone.
Actually, that's a nice name for a group, Wingspan.
Yes. You know, that name happened because at the time I wanted to kind of pay tribute to the legacy of Charlie Parker, you know, who was also known as Bird. And so when I thought about the span of his legacy, you know.
That's a very cute idea. I guess I wouldn't have thought of that, but it makes a lot of sense. And obviously you are a great Bird fan like the rest of us.
Oh, I love Charlie Parker. The whole concept, you know,
yeah.
So innovative and exciting.
Boy. Well, I'd like to hear you play. How about a solo? Something. I don't know. What did you choose?
Sure. I'd like to play an old standard that was associated with Charlie Parker called Just Friends.
Oh, that'd be lovely. I think that's a great tune to open the show with because you love Charlie Parker so much and that tune was such a big hit for him. When you were growing up, how soon did you get to hear his music?
Oh, I guess I was about to, before I actually paid any attention to it, I was about 16 or 17, after I had discovered jazz through certain piano players. And then I happened upon a Charlie Parker record that really caught my ears.
Well, were you an only child, or how did you get started with the piano?
Well, I'm one of five.
Oh, you're not an only child.
And I'm right in the middle. And so my father bought a piano when I guess I was about six, and I just kind of started playing naturally by ear. Soon after that, church songs and hymns and things like that. And because I'm from a small town in the Delta in Mississippi, piano teachers.
Greenwood, is that right?
Greenwood.
Greenwood, Mississippi.
That's correct.
Boy.
And, piano teachers were not in abundance there.
I wouldn't think so.
So I had to wait a couple of years before we were able to find one. And I started studying in the third grade at 8 years old. And I studied with a man named Mr. Albert Harrison, who still teaches in the public school system there.
Fantastic. He's still in Mississippi?
He's still in Mississippi.
Oh, that's great. And he's going to hear you play, and he's going to be thrilled by what he did for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm thrilled for what he did for me.
But I imagine that you did sort of absorb all those gospel and church songs, too, when you were a little kid.
Oh, yes. They are part of my whole musical being. You know, they're big fibers in my whole musical being.
Well, How about if you play one of your own compositions?
Sure.
I would love that.
Sure. I wrote a song a few years ago entitled Carousel, and it's a waltz, in 3-4. And I guess it shows kind of a Bill Evans influence in the design of it. And I recorded it with my trio.
I'd love to hear it. Carousel?
Okay. Carousel.
Okay. Well, tell me about another aspect of your playing. You do some teaching.
Yes, I teach privately in my home and do a lot of workshops and clinics and things like that.
So what do you tell the kids coming up?
Well, I tell them, I think the most important thing to their development is to learn how to listen.
So what do you give them any, like, records or something to listen to? Or?
Yeah, well, part of... A private lesson includes some time to, you know, I'll put on a record and we'll listen. And I talk about listening on different levels. You know, I find that you know, you can listen on different levels. Sometimes you listen and you don't notice the details. You know, I have an interesting story about that, if you don't mind.
I want to hear it.
Well, after I came to New York, I was on a gig once, and I was playing the tune 4. And this was with one of the veteran musicians in New York. Clifford Jordan was on the gig. And so I was playing some changes that I had learned from the fake book, from a fake book. And they were not the original changes, you know. And although I had been listening to recordings of Miles playing 4, and they were playing the original changes, I just didn't listen beyond what was on the surface, you know. And so Clifford came over to me that night, and he said, you know, you're playing the wrong changes on 4. I said, really? And he said, yeah, you know, they are this, you know. And he showed me. And I said, wow, that's amazing. I've been listening to that record for years now. And I hadn't noticed that. And then I went back home, and I put the record on, and there it was, as plain as day, the changes that he was showing me. And what I learned from that is that I had not been listening deep enough, you know, in enough detail to get all of the proper things, you know. So that was a lesson for me. And one thing that I've noticed about great musicians, the greatest musicians are the greatest listeners.
Well, that's really good to hear, and I'm sure that's true, because how could they have developed their everything, you know, their harmonic ideas? Oh, well, I could really get into something, but what I was thinking was, now that you brought up that tune, 4, wouldn't that be a good one to play?
It would be an excellent one to
play. And I hope that I'd be playing the right changes.
Yeah, me too.
This, by the way, this tune was allegedly written by Miles, but he stole it from somebody, didn't he?
Well, yes, according to legend, the song was actually written by Eddie Cleanhead Vincent, who was a saxophonist and blues singer.
So, well, I guess the manager, his pen slipped. He put the wrong name on the contract.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently he had a pension, no pun intended, for doing that.
Yeah. Oh, you did make a very good pun there. Wow. I don't hear that word too often. Well, let's have a go at four. And right. You start, and I'll follow along.
Okay, I'll play a little intro, the last part of the tune, and
okay.
Go on from there.
Hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast. Tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.